Here ends Professor Flashman's historical lecture. Much of it cribbed from a history book, but some of it at least learned that first day in the Munich beer gardens. One thing I was pretty sure of, and it flies in the face of history, whatever may be said, Lola was secretly admired by the common people. They might shake their heads and look solemn whenever a cavalry escort drove away for her through a crowd of protesting students. They might look shocked when they heard of the orgies in the Barostraza Palace. They might exclaim in horror when her Alemania horsewhipped an editor and smashed his presses. But the men inwardly loved her for the gorgeous hoyden she was, and the women hid their satisfaction that one of their own sex was setting Europe by the ears. Whenever the insolent, tempestuous Montez provoked some new scandal, there was no lack of those who thought, "Good for you," and quite a few who said it openly. And what the devil did she want with me? Well, I'd come to Munich to find out, so I scribbled a note that Sunday evening, addressed to the Chamberlain Lauengram, saying that I had arrived and was at his disposal. Then I wandered over to the Residenz Palace and looked at Lola's portrait in the public gallery, that gallery of beauties in which Ludwig had assembled pictures of the loveliest women of his day. There were princesses, countesses, actresses, and the daughter of the Munich town crier, among others. And Lola, looking unusually nun-like in a black dress and wearing a come-to-Jesus expression. Underneath it was inscribed a verse written by the king, who was given to poetry, which finished up, "O soft and beauteous as a deer art thou of Andalusian race." Well, he was probably in a position to know about that, and to think that only a few years ago she'd been a penniless dancer being hooted off a London stage. I had hoped, considering the urgency of Lauengram's original letter to me, to be bidden to Lola's palace on the Monday. But that day and the next went by, and still no word. But I was patient and kept to my hotel, and on the Wednesday morning I was rewarded. I was finishing breakfast in my room, still in my dressing gown, when there was a great flurry in the passage, and a lackey came to announce the arrival of the Freiherr von Starnberg, whoever he might be. There was much clashing and stamping. Two cuirassiers in full fig appeared behind the lackey and stationed themselves like statues on either side of my doorway. And then, in between them, strolled the man himself, a gay young spark who greeted me with a flashing smile and outstretched hand. "Herr Rittmeister Flashman," says he, "my privilege to welcome you to Bavaria. Starnberg very much at your service." And he clicked his heels, bowing. "You'll forgive my French, but it's better than my English." "Better than my German, at any rate," says I, taking stock of him. He was about 20, of middle height and very slender, with a clean-cut, handsome face, brown curls, and the wisp of a moustache on his upper lip. A very cool, jaunty gentleman, clad in the tight tunic and breeches of what I took to be a hussar regiment, for he had a dolman over his shoulder and a lightsaber trailing at his hip. He was sizing me up at the same time. "Dragoon?" says he. "No, hussar. English light cavalry mounts must be infernally strong, then," says he coolly. "Well, no matter. Forgive my professional interest. Have I interrupted your breakfast?" I assured him he'd not. "Splendid, then. If you'll oblige me by getting dressed, we'll lose no more time. Lola can't abide to be kept waiting."